Good evening. While it is 7:15 in Los Angeles, we're getting started a little bit late. So, in case I will be getting off the phone and then back on it in about 15 minutes. The call is being done as a presenter's procedure, which means that you'll be able to hear me, but you would not be able to ask a question until at the end of the session, where I will authorize people to be asking questions. So please get some paper and pencil as we speak. Any item that is important for you, please make a note of it so you can ask the question later. I'll be back online in about 15 minutes. Thank you. So that you can keep track of your schedule. Presently, the handouts that I give in the physical class are at www.yeses-em/capital-c-small-lass-space-the-1-forward-slash-small-letters-c-l-a-s-s-space-o-n-e-space-l-i-n-k-s.htm. There are links on this page to the various handouts that I'll be discussing tonight. This class is starting as with the assumption that you know nothing about Kabbalah, you know nothing about Judaism, and you know nothing about the way the world works. I'm sorry for people who have some background, but by the next week, and certainly the third week, you'll be finding some definite aspects that will resonate with your past knowledge. But those people who are not knowledgeable need to be brought up with this information. The class, personally, I have been studying Kabbalah for the last 17 or 18 years. I have been teaching it for the last 10 years. The major tool of Kabbalah is the Zohar, which is a book that we won't really talk about for the third, till we get to about the third week. But in each class, I will read a verse from it and translate. And I do this as part of the aspect of the energy. Many people don't understand that initially, but we open the class normally with a reading of the Zohar and a saying of a particular sequence of words that connect us to creation. So we will do that starting this week, and you really will get a better understanding of why we do that in the third week. Ketiv shetei mayim b'muhorcha b'nozlim mitoch b'ercha amai borcha b'kadmeta uvatar b'ercha b'ha bor la ikre ela rekanya d'la nevia b'er mayim d'nevin ela kola atar chad hu ela atar d'miskene achidan ויקרא בור דלת למדילי אלא מה יחבין Begave Uman Ihu Delamed Yudtach. It is written, drink water out of your own cistern, and running water out of your own well. So Rabbi Shimon asked, why does it say your own cistern first and then your own well? Since a cistern is an empty place without water, while a well is a fountain of running water. They are completely different from each other. He answered, both are the same, meaning both refer to the female principle. But when the poor are attached to that region, meaning when the female principle is not connected with the spiritual world, who is her husband, she is considered to be poor and is called a cistern, with nothing of its own except what is put inside it. This region is called Dalet, the fourth letter of the alphabet, or the female principle when she is not connected with the spiritual world. You're not expected to understand that right at this moment, but you will receive energy just by listening to it. Anabakoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Serura Alephet Gimel Yudkaf Tzadi Kaberinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorsheyehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkaf Shin. We're now going to connect to the letters that created the planet Mars, which is the Dalet, and the Nun, which created the constellation of Scorpio, and also the month of Cheshvan, which we are starting tonight. This is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a very powerful day, which lets us connect to the positive energy of the month ahead of us. Parchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamlem Bet tetresh saditach gimel Chasin kadosh berov tuvcha nael adakach Chet Kuf Bet Het Nun Ayin Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zohre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shinkuvav Sadiyutav. And the last line we say silently. So now we're ready to start the class. Right now I'm handing out tonight's handouts. And these are coming from the Kabbalah Learning Center. Basically, the first question we have to answer is, what is Kabbalah? What is Kabbalah? Kabbalah is a Hebrew word. When I first started studying Kabbalah, and I first started to be connected to the observant community, term Kabbalah, as used by observant people, was very different than the term Kabbalah used by other people, more secular people. Kabbalah itself, as a Hebrew word, means to receive. But when one speaks about Kabbalah, one is talking about the internal essence of the Torah. The observant people would say it's talking about the secrets of the Torah. The more secular-oriented people would be saying Kabbalah is just Judaism. And in fact, they're both wrong. Kabbalah is part of Judaism. It is the essence of Judaism. And Judaism is the essence of what every human being wants to learn. Does that mean that you need to convert? No. Does that mean that you need to be Jewish? No. It means that God gave Adam a set of rules and a set of tools to connect to him. Adam was a finite human being. We are taught that every soul who would ever exist, that means you and me, every soul was in Adam's body, or in Chava's body, in Eve's body. Every soul who ever lives or will live was connected through Adam and Eve. Every God gave Adam these tools so that every human soul can get closer to God. Now, we have to ask a question. I don't believe in God. So what do? I'm not able to use the tools? God doesn't care if you believe in him. God wants you to be happy. He created you, whether you believe in him or not, whether you follow that we exist as a cosmic burp, or just the way the world evolved. God, or the evolution, or your own desire is to be happy. The tools that you'll be taught in the next 12 to 15 weeks are designed to help you achieve that goal. Do not believe a word I say. I am not here to make you into something that you're not. I am not here to make you do something you don't want to do. I have studied Kabbalah, and I know that the tools work. I've been told to teach Kabbalah. I've been told to give this information to people, and that it will be up to them whether they will choose to experience it themselves. That's up to you. Don't believe a word I'm saying, but please, over the course of the weeks that we're together, try the tools and see if they improve your life. See if they help you. I'm not promising you that tomorrow you will be a millionaire. I am not promising you that tomorrow you will meet the woman or man of your dreams. But I am promising you, by using the tools, those things, if that is your desire, will happen to you. With that said, let's get back to the discussion. What is the religion? What is Kabbalah, which I have said is an essence of Judaism? And Judaism is a religion. So what is a religion? In the course of human history, religions have been very painful to people. All of the wars of humanity come from religions. My God is better than your God. My God is stronger than your God. My house is stronger than your house. I want your resources, but my people won't fight over the resources, so we're going to have the priests tell them to go fight. This is human history. It doesn't have to be that way. But we have to change ourselves to come to understand what is religion. Whether you believe there is a creator or a God or not doesn't matter whether you use these tools. We reach for something outside of ourselves to give us happiness, to give ourselves fulfillment. I can use the word God or the word Hashem or the word Adonai or the word Elohim or many, many other words. When you use the word God, it's not the same as my word, God. We're not communicating using God, the name God. We need to understand what it is we seek. We were created as a desire to receive. What does that mean? When a baby is born, one of the tests that the doctors do is to stretch out their arms away from their body and to see if they bring them back in. That's a human reflex. It's automatic. The baby doesn't do it, there's something wrong. Why? Why does a baby bring its arms into its body? Why is this habit, this reflex, built into the human being? The Kabbalah explains that it teaches us that we want everything. We desire everything. We are a desire to receive. I want the chocolate cake. That's a desire to receive. I want this human, this person, my husband, my wife, my daughter, my son. This is a desire to receive. We want more money. That's a desire to receive. Every thought that we have is a desire to receive. This is what we as a human being, it's our essence. What does it mean to be a human being? It means to desire. Now, some people desire a bowl of rice, a wife and a family, and that's the extent of their desire. Other people desire every piece of property in New York City and all of the money in all of the banks all over the world. Both people have desires. Both of those desires are what it means to be human. And any and other desire, it means you're human. And that's a good thing. Because the alternative is to be dead, God forbid. Kabbalah means to receive. Desire means I want. I want to receive. Do you know how to receive? Kabbalah teaches us that we don't know how to receive. Somehow we find ourselves in this world, moving around, which is a desire to move, moving around this world. I want the chocolate cake, so go out and take it. But the bakery wants me to pay money. So go to the, in late at night and steal it. What's the desire to receive? And what's fulfillment? Is it okay to go late at night and steal the cake? The answer is yes, unless you get caught. Or the answer is no. There are ways to receive. Kabbalah is here to teach you the ways to receive so that you get lasting fulfillment. That you receive that chocolate cake and you don't have to eat chocolate cake again, because you will always know that fulfillment. Yes, you're going to have to eat meals every day of your life as long as you're living. I'm not promising you that you can stop eating. But I can promise you that you'll stop eating things that are not good for you, if you choose. Kabbalah teaches you how to receive. So what is the first lesson in Kabbalah? We live in a physical world, and we have senses that perceive this physical world. And those senses are corrupted. What do I mean they're corrupted? They're giving you a false reading. When you see something, science teaches us that the top of that thing that you see is actually coming into the bottom of your eye. And the bottom of that thing is coming into the top of your eye. And you have to transform that vision, that image, to be right side up. That's corruption. That means there's room for error. What you see is not what's there. I'm sitting in a room, and traveling through this room are radio and TV waves. Most people in this room will tell me they don't see it. Some people will tell me they see it, and they may be lying. How do you know what's true? We are connected to all knowledge. What is knowledge that I can make a statement like that? It sounds absurd. I can't remember my phone number from one day to the next. But I'm connected to all knowledge. Should I marry this woman or should I marry that woman? Should I turn right at this corner or left? Should I take this new job or should I pass on it? We are connected to all knowledge. But we don't know how to receive all knowledge. That's what Kabbalah comes to teach us. And the first thing it teaches us is the way we perceive the world is corrupted. Our senses are limited. We only have 5 senses. Our connection to all knowledge is in the 6th sense, and in the 7th sense, in the 8th sense, in our intuition. These are all terms that people use, describing, I know what to do, so let's do it. I know what I want, and what I want is good for me. Let's get it. Oh, this isn't good for me? Because down the road, this is going to give me some heartache? this is going to give me some chaos in my life, so I shouldn't make that decision. If I accept this job, 5 years from now, that company's going to go out of business, but if I accept this job that is paying less, they're going to live and they're going to exist for 30 years. I can see that. I know that. I'm connected to all knowledge. Which decision do I make? Oh, I'm using my senses. It's more money on paper. Therefore, I should take that job. But my intuition says this is a risk-taking company. Let's stay with this company that's due to be around for the next 30 years. How do I connect to that intuition? How do I connect to that sixth sense? This is what Kabbalah will come and teach you. Don't believe a word I say. What I'm teaching tonight is to understand that we live in a world that is an illusion. If I take my finger and I put it in a cup of warm water, and then I take my finger, that same finger, and put it in a cup of cold water. Now when I move it into the middle cup, a cup that is neither hot, warm, nor cold, which way will my finger feel? If I've had it in cold water and I put it into the neutral water is going to feel hot. It's going to feel warm. If I've had it in hot water and I put it into neutral water, it's going to feel cold. In reality, it's neither hot nor cold. But we fool ourselves. We sense it. We know. Because I can see the water, I put my finger in the water, and it's warm or cold. What's the truth? The truth is that it's 67 degrees. But even that's not the truth. Knowledge, for me, is truth. What does that mean? I'm a seeker of truth, which means I'm a seeker of knowledge, which is why I discovered my path to Kabbalah, which is why I have studied it and taught it for the last 18 years, 10 years teaching. Truth is relative, and yet we are taught that truth is eternal, that there is one eternal truth. But truth is relative. If I take a fishbowl or a fish tank and I have one side with green glass and one side with yellow glass and one side with red glass and one side with purple glass, and I look through the red glass, what color is the fish? It's red. And if I look through the green glass, what color is the fish? And if I look through the yellow glass, what color is the fish? Yellow. So what color is the fish? What's the truth?
I don't know.
The fish is actually silver. But my perception of the fish is colored by the glass, the illusion. That applies to our world. I look in our world, and this person looks like it's not part of me. This person looks happy. And this person woke up, that same person woke up miserable. But they look happy, they're smiling. But if you ask them what's going on in their life, they'll give you all the litany of pain and suffering and problems. Are you happy or are you unhappy? This world is an illusion. In the Zohar, and we'll come to understand what the Zohar is in a while, in a few weeks. In the Zohar it says that a blade of grass does not grow unless an angel comes to it and tells it to grow. It actually says hits it and tells it to grow. Is there coincidence in this world of illusion? Does the grass grow because an angel told it to grow? Or does the grass grow because it's nature to grow? What's the cause of the grass growing? The earth, the sun, the water? Or can I see past those and see that there was a reason why all of those came together and caused the grass to grow? The metaphor is that an angel comes to the blade of grass and tells it to grow. The illusion is that I see it die. The illusion is that I don't see it grow, but from one day to the next, from one week to the next, it gets taller. Why don't I see it go from step by step, instant by instant, go from 1 inch long to 14 inches long? What's the illusion? Well, typically I'm not there to watch it. But I can put a camera up and do time-lapse photography and see it grow. What's the illusion? The illusion is that I am different than you. Hold up your hand. Tell me how many fingers you have. Most people answer, I have 5 fingers. Some people playing a game will say, I have 4 fingers and a thumb. I'll tell you what you have is 1 hand. Every one of those fingers is part of your hand. You see the finger separate. The finger sees itself as part of your hand. It doesn't see itself separate. The illusion in our world is that we see ourselves separate from another person. The truth is, we are not. We are all part of the same vessel. We are all part of the same desire to receive. Can I prove that to you? I am not here to prove that to you. You will prove it to yourself over the next number of weeks. Kabbalah teaches us that this world is one of illusion. Kabbalah teaches us that the only thing that causes something to happen in our world is the fulfillment of a desire. I want a new couch. I go to the furniture store. I buy the couch. What was the cause of me purchasing the piece of furniture? In this world of illusion, it looks like I did it. The truth is that the couch caused me to have a desire for it. And therefore I paid the money and took it home. The cause was not the physical couch, but the essence of the couch, which would fulfill my desire for a new couch. Why doesn't my enjoyment of that couch last 30 years? Usually it's about a half hour, and it's time to go buy another one. But it's not practical, so we wait a week, maybe 6 months. What is the cause of my desire? What is the cause of the fulfillment? Kabbalah comes and teaches us that nothing happens in our physical world without a spiritual cause, without an angel coming to the blade of grass and saying to it, grow. Without the essence of the couch coming to my essence and saying, I will fulfill you by me. I didn't buy it because I like the color beige, and I didn't buy it because I like the pattern on the couch. I bought it because the essence of the couch said, I will fulfill you. That essence is called spiritual. That essence is in everything. We all hear scientists talk to us about atoms that none of us have ever seen. Part of that illusion. Why haven't we seen it? Why does the atom in this finger, meaning my first finger, know that it belongs there and not in my fifth finger, in my baby pinky finger? How does the atom in my pinky finger know that it should be there and not in my first finger? Each of those atoms are physical things that have a spiritual essence. And that essence is the cause of that atom being where it's supposed to be. Our essence, which we call soul, is the cause of us being where we are. Kabbalah teaches that we came into this world to do spiritual work. Kabbalah teaches that we came into this world to enjoy the pleasures of this physical world. Most of us don't truly enjoy the pleasures of this physical world. Because the only way to enjoy the physical pleasures, to receive the fulfillment of the chocolate cake, is to do the spiritual work. And that, we will come to understand, has to do with sharing with other people. That's why when I look at you, you look separate from me. So I can have the illusion of sharing with you. Both of us are truly receiving from something outside of us. But if I share with you, I can receive and keep physical pleasures. If I receive physical pleasures without sharing them, I cannot keep it. That fulfillment has to go away. One of the laws of this, of the physical spiritual worlds. Just as there is a natural law in the physical world, there is natural law in the spiritual world. They don't act the same, they don't work the same, but they are connected. Why does every planet in the universe want every other planet to come closer to it? It's called the law of gravity. Natural law. Every physical thing wants every other physical thing to come closer to it. That's called gravity. I jump off the building, I fall. The earth wants me closer to it. If I'm standing up on the earth, if I'm not careful, I'll fall. The earth wants me closer to it. Cause and effect. A physical effect must have a spiritual cause. There is a law in the spiritual world just as clear as the law of gravity. And it says that in order to be closer to something, I have to be in affinity with that. I can't just jump off the building and fall to the earth as I can in the physical world. The way physical natural law works. In the spiritual world, I have a desire to be closer to that thing. The fulfillment of that means I must change myself to be in affinity with who or what I want to be close to. Love and hate are opposites. I love someone means I have affinity with them, or I cannot be close to them in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual world. Everything we do in this world comes from this, is caused by the spiritual. Everything we do in this world is caused by our desire. And the spiritual cause is creating the desire to be revealed. The essence of the couch wants to be revealed. The only way it's revealed if it's in my house. The only way it's revealed if I'm in affinity with it and sitting on it and getting pleasure from it. That's revealing its essence. We live in this world of illusion. The essence of the spiritual world causes this physical world to be. Kabbalah teaches us that our desire is our consciousness. Our consciousness is our thoughts. Our desire, our thoughts, are our essence. If I don't think it, it cannot happen. Where do my thoughts come from? They come from a spiritual world. They can only be revealed if I do physical work. I want the cake. I have to reach out to the and cut it. I have to take up the fork. My thoughts are the spiritual. The fulfillment comes through the physical and in process creates the revelation of the spiritual into the physical. That's why we are in this world, to reveal those spiritual desires in the physical world. We've all heard of the concept of mind over matter. It is a real tool. Most people cannot do it. Most people cannot walk through that wall. Most people cannot avoid the car accident when it's coming at them. Most people cannot move from Los Angeles to New York in a second. They have to get on a plane and go through 6 hours of flying plus 3 hours of getting there in the car and 2 hours to get to their place in New York. But there are people in this world who can do that. They don't tell you they can do it. They don't manifest it because they don't want to be bothered. They know the tools. They know how to use the tools. They know that the essence of the tools is to achieve fulfillment. And it's not to achieve notoriety. It's not to achieve notice by other people. It's to achieve your fulfillment. If your fulfillment, if your desire is to be noticed, to receive the notoriety, you will receive that through the study of Kabbalah. If your desire is to go to New York in a second, you'll receive that also through the study of Kabbalah. Don't believe a word I say. Test it for yourself. There is a term in Kabbalah called the language of branches. And the language of branches says that everything that exists in our physical world has a cause in the spiritual world. And that spiritual world has a cause in a spiritual world higher than it. And that spiritual world has a cause in a spiritual world higher than it. What I see as a chair or a couch or a human being is a branch of some spiritual thing in that ultimately higher world where everything is in unity, where there is no separation between people, where there is no separation between a piece of furniture and a human being. They're both desires to receive. The furniture has a desire to be used in a proper way. The human being has a desire for whatever will fulfill it. But ultimately, we are all one vessel. And in that vessel, we have a desire. And one of that, part of that desire is for the spiritual to be revealed in the physical. The Kabbalists gave us the language of branches. They say there's a physical world and a spiritual world. And they're both the same. They're both in unity. They're both a singular thing. One thing. Is it a name? Can I call it something? Or can I not? When I name something, I am connecting to its essence. When I connect to its essence, I'm able to receive the fulfillment of that essence. I'm able to share my fulfillment with that essence. I know very well that a lot of the words I've spoken tonight seem confusing. Over the course of the next 12 to 15 weeks, you'll find them not confusing. I will be giving you information over the next 12 to 15 weeks. What's the difference between information and knowledge? If I'm a stockbroker, a commodities broker, dealing in the price, future price of rice, and I read in the Los Angeles Times that there's a hurricane developing off the coast of China. As a stockbroker, I can take that information and short the price of rice or purchase more rice because I know the price is going to go up. I can transform that information into knowledge by using it in my life. Since I'm not a stockbroker or a commodities broker, when I read the article that there's a hurricane forming off the coast of China, I move on to the sports page. It's not interesting to me. It's not. It's only information. It's not knowledge. Do not believe a word I say, but please use the tools and the information I give you to make it knowledge in your life. Use it. Experience it. You'll never be able to express that experience to another human being, but you will come to know that the experience that you're having is beneficial for you. You'll come to know and to experience the fulfillment associated with knowledge. There is a difference between belief and knowledge. In Western society, we are inundated with an ethic called faith. The Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, all of them teach you have to have faith. Judaism does not teach faith. Kabbalah does not teach faith. The first of the 10 utterances, which most people call a commandment, is Anochi Adonai Elohecha. I am God, your God. There's no command in those words. It's just a statement. I am God, your God. The Kabbalists come and tell us we are here in this world to know God, not to believe in God. Do I have to believe in God? Do I have to come to know God? Absolutely not. You want fulfillment? You can have fulfillment irrespective of what you believe in God, you know God, you utilize God. God gave us these gifts. Use them. Yes, over time, when you use these gifts, God will start to influence you. Those gifts will start to move you to a place where you will start to believe in God. But only by your choice. Not by, oh, you must do this. There's a difference between belief and knowledge. Will the paper fall to the floor? Yes or no? Will the paper fall to the floor if I drop it?
Yes.
How many believe that the paper will fall? Three of you. How many will know that the paper will fall? Three of you, but there's only five here. Well, for sure. Knowledge is the goal. Knowledge brings you to truth. Belief is not the goal. Belief means that you doubt. I'm not sure if this paper is going to fall, so I only believe that it will fall. I know this paper is going to fall, There's no doubt. 1,000 out of 1,000 times it will hit the floor. I believe it will fall. 999 times out of 1,000 it will hit the floor. What about that other one time? It's going to fly up to the ceiling. There's an angel going to come and pick it up and take it up there. How many believe me? How many know that I'm lying? There's a difference between belief and knowledge.
One of the things that I don't believe is teaching that you said, you talked about belief and then knowledge. Then you added another one.
Information.
No. You dropped it and then it didn't fall because you grabbed it. She said, certainty. I know by certainty that it's not going to fall because I am in control of it.
We'll come to that. Understand that what I'm giving you in these classes is information. It's up to you to use it and experience it in your life, which will make it knowledge. You will go through the process of faith, belief, before you reach knowledge. They're all right. They're all good. They're just indications of where you are. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden and he and Eve had just sinned, and God calls out, Adam, where are you? And Adam answers, Ayeka. Here I am. And the commentaries ask the question. God didn't know what Adam was. God isn't aware of what Adam did. Why did he ask the question, where are you? Where are you? Are you in information? Where are you? Are you in belief? Where are you? Are you ready for knowledge? Are you ready to see truth? Are there any questions? I'm opening up the phone also. Any questions? No questions.
I think that when you were discussing about the fence, you said the spot.
That's what this
that
is.
That was for me something that I'm not interested in. I was hearing. I remember when you didn't do the 18 words, and I was so certain.
That you heard it.
Perfect. I was perfect. I knew the information. I was just so upset with the exam, you know, until I started, you know, recording myself and noticing that I could hear almost like 28 of the words. I could hear.
What we hear,
I'm very sad.
Understand. What we hear comes from our eardrum. And the only way we hear is because the eardrum pushes the sound wave back. If you don't push the sound wave back, you cannot hear. It just keeps going. The sound wave just keeps going. But in the process of pushing back, there's room for misunderstanding, for misinterpreting. There's room for the illusion. The sound wave isn't seen, isn't heard until the eardrum pushes it back. Now, we could train our mind to remember 42 words or 101 words, but do you hear what the person said? What the person said will never be what I hear, because this is a world of illusion. Yes, what you say will never be heard by the other person, because the other person is hearing their own attitudes, their own inflection. They hear what they want to hear, and not necessarily what you want to share with them.
Sometimes they don't even want to hear. They just want to talk to us about the whole agenda.
Right.
So wait, does that mean that, like, even if you, like, physically hear the words they're saying, you might not get, like, the same thought as them because you're trying to...
Well, what they're saying isn't the thought that they had. They had a thought. What they say is colored by their culture. It's colored by the words that they use. It's colored by the whole process. The thought is not the words. There's a separation. It's close. Now, what you hear are only the words. You'll never hear their thought. I shouldn't say that, because once you start to connect to intuition and to those six senses, you'll hear their thoughts, and you'll know when their words are incorrect. You'll hear their words the way they mean them to be heard, not necessarily the way they want to hide what they're saying. It's all part of the connection, knowing where are you, as well as knowing where is the other person who's part of you. Yes?
You say that knowledge barrier is here?
Sure. Can you understand me when I'm talking about a Jewish ritual? You've not experienced it. It's being colored by your rituals from your background, whatever it might be. In your case, we talked that it's Catholicism. So you will see my ritual of lighting candles through your ritual of lighting candles. But they're different.
I also never get a clear picture.
You cannot get a clear picture until you recognize where are you. You cannot get a clear picture until you grow spiritually and open up to grow. Science is doing experiments all the time proving that we don't hear what is said.
In the movie, the sound of people. I've watched the movie 150 times, I think. And every time I watch the movie, I see different things I see on the
different aspects, absolutely.
The Wizard of Oz, the other day, I've seen it like 200 times. Do you know, have you seen The Wizard of Oz? Did you know that it says when the gypsy said, oh, I'm looking to the internet. And I did it. Stop! He's the internet. The internet. I mean, the whole concept of the
The picture was made 40 years before the internet.
And
so did they redub it?
No.
Or did he say it because he was connected in doing prophecy? Who knows?
God knows. So when God, it just blew my mind away.
I have to tell you, I did not ever hear that in that movie. Understood.
Oh my God.
Okay. Any other questions?
When you talk about thinking of what?
As magic? You've asked a very deep question. You know, you've asked a very deep question that you're really not prepared to hear the answer yet. But let me give you an example Let me give you an example. From your appearance, your background is Hispanic. In 100 years ago in the Hispanic culture, in the various countries in the New World, people were farmers. If you materialized a portable computer into that society, would they call it magic? Of course. It's the only word they could put to it. Or technology. What is magic? What is the illusion? It's technology. But we have to understand what that means. And we don't have time tonight, obviously. One other thing I just want to put on the recording as part of housekeeping. I teach Torah. Torah is always free, in my opinion. I cannot ever charge for Torah. By the same token, we live in a society that says my bills need to be paid. By the same token, you are receiving information, which is energy. You need to exchange energy for energy. If you wish to make a donation, you can do so physically in this class here, or you can do it online by going to www.paypal.com and click on the link that says donate funds or send funds, and the email address that you would enter into the program is hanoch_7@hotmail.com. hanoch_7@hotmail.com. This is not funds that are going for my upkeep. I work for a living in many different ways. This is stuff, all of these donations I end up using and utilizing for expanding and advancing the information that you're being given to more and more people through a website, through the conference calls, through the different technology that we're starting to utilize. Thank you very much, and have a good week.